Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to the program. This, of course, is Stinchfield, the podcast. So I've got a question for all of you out there. Who thinks shedding is real when it comes to the mRNA experimental vaccine? Is shedding real? This idea that if you're not vaxxed, you could get the ill effects from the vaccine just from being around somebody, maybe having sex with somebody, maybe hugging somebody. For a long time, I thought this was all like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. This is craziness. I still have my skepticism about it. But when I have skepticism about things, I like to talk to people that I trust. So today's guest is Dr. Peter McCullough, one of the foremost experts when it comes to COVID, the response to COVID, the vaccine. I don't know anybody who's dug in as deep as he has to all of this stuff. So I want to ask him about shedding, the reality of it, and what we need to know about all of that. So with that, of course, let me remind you that this podcast is brought to you by The Wellness Company, twc.health/grant, twc.health/grant. Please use promo code grant for 10% off. Dr. McCullough is involved there. These are critically thinking doctors to bring you products, medications, prescription medications to keep you safe during times of need. So again, twc.health/grant. Please pay that website a visit and get prepared. All right, let's get it started.
Uncensored and unapologetic. This is Stinchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stinchfield.
All right, it is my great pleasure to welcome in my friend. We were just talking, you know, Dr. McCullough, I'm so honored to call you a friend. I really am. And it's great to have you on the program again.
Grant, it's great to be back with you. You've been bringing the truth from the onset of this crazy medical crisis that we're in. And I, you know, it's thanks to you and other visionary people. You know, Joe Rogan's in that group and Tucker Carlson. You're in an elite group of podcasters, journalists, media anchors who are seeing through this miasma, are actually bringing America the truth.
Well, you're kind to say that, and I'm honored by your comments. And, you know, all I want is the truth. So I don't know if you heard me just a moment ago, this idea of shedding of the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm skeptical of things. You know, I was skeptical that the government would push a vaccine that would harm people, and it did, and I had reason to be skeptical. Now I hear this shedding, and I'm like, come on, this sounds conspiracy theory. I use the term cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But as I start to dig into this, I don't know. It seems like there's some truth to this. So I wanted to bring you on, and I've got some other sound clips that we can play and let you respond to. But your thoughts on shedding and the reality of it.
Before COVID, there were peer-reviewed manuscripts in the literature describing shedding vaccines or spreading vaccines, and they were largely thought to be useful in animal populations, to vaccinate one animal and it would spread the vaccine to others. So there's ways of spreading vaccine through breath, through body secretions, close contact. So with the COVID-19 vaccines, we know that they're messenger RNA, they're long lasting in the body, probably months, if not years. The spike protein it produces, again, months, if not years. The question on the table is, do the vaccines get into body fluids? So Hannah and colleagues showed in two papers, for sure messenger RNA gets into breast milk. So if it gets into breast milk, it's going to get into sweat as well as your genital secretions. Castriota showed the messenger RNA is circulating in the blood. So for sure it's in blood. It means it could be in a blood donation. Spike protein in all the same body fluids and in the same manner could be transmitted. Now the issue is, well, how much, and is it clinically significant? So on my show, I've invited on Helene Benoon several times, a former researcher from INSERM Institute in France, and she's done the most scholarship on this. She believes shedding is real. The most obvious example, Grant, is a woman who's menstruating with with an unvaccinated woman, also menstruating age. And then the menstrual cycles are disturbed. That's been shown many times. So far, shedding has not been proven through blood transfusion, sexual intercourse, or other close contact, but it's real. And it probably is spike protein, at least to the point. Remember, a woman's menstrual cycle is the most delicate biologic observation we can make in human beings, and it is affected by shedding.
All right, so that is where I see a lot of the talk. Is about the woman's menstrual cycle. A friend of yours, Dr. Pierre Corey, did an interview with the Epoch Times. And I want you to listen to his comments. He tells a little anecdote story here. And then we'll comment on what Dr. Corey has to say about this.
You know, I finally did the scientific research. So here was my evolution is, in fact, the first patient I treated was March of 2021. It was a woman who got to me through actually a podcast that I'd done an interview with. And she related that she had gone to a massage therapist who had gotten boosted the day before. And she came home that night, and I think she missed her period within 2 days. She had tender, swollen breasts. She was cramping. And she said she had not, she'd been so regular for the last 20 years. She was 43, I think. She said this was totally abnormal. And she really related it to that very close exposure to the massage therapist. And I didn't really know what to do for her. I knew ivermectin binds spike, and I thought maybe there was some shedding of spike, and I actually put her on ivermectin, and actually she got her period back. She hadn't had her period in, I think, about 6 or 8 weeks by the time she talked to me, and she still was very uncomfortable, and about 5 days after ivermectin, she got her period back. I had one other anecdote very similar to that, and then I didn't have any more for a long time, and then I opened my practice. And what happened is me and my partner, we started to see these phenomena in our patients, some of them even vaccine-injured patients. So everybody thinks, you know, shedding, it's only the unvaccinated who are screaming, right? The anti-vaxxers who are saying they're being shed upon. That's not true. I have vaccine-injured patients who are sensitive to being exposed to other vaccinated. And so,
so Dr. McCullough, what do you make of that? You have the same anecdotal type stories?
I do. Actually, I have some massage therapists who also have very similar vignettes. So I think it's cohesive. You know, what we are observing is that the COVID-19 vaccines are far longer lasting than we'd ever want to possibly consider, and that we're accumulating spike protein in the body. So one of the things I do in my office to see if someone's been shedded upon, we can actually measure the extended range antibody assay against the spike protein and the nucleocapsid, but spike tells us an idea of exposure. So a natural infection on this test, let's say someone who just had COVID, it's 6 months later, a year later, we'll see 0 to 500 on this test, arbitrary units. Someone who's had the vaccine grant, we can see up to over 25,000 on this relative assay. So you're right. So if I see somebody unvaccinated and they're in the 2,000 to 3,000 range on this spike test, then in fact, I think they've been shedded upon.
All right. So for me pushing back, we talked about sexual intercourse. There's another soundbite I have. I think someone talks about sexual intercourse. So for me, it's hard to believe because I'm like, okay, a massage therapist is going to shed upon you. But when you have sexual intercourse, you're not going to be shed upon? How does that happen?
Well, remember that the urogenital secretions are different pH, so we don't know. I mean, I've never seen a documented confirmed case, but also sexual intercourse also is a lot of close contact, kissing, etc. We're just going to have to follow the literature there. I advise everybody to be careful. I've been asked the question, well, how long should we wait if someone's taken the vaccine? Fortunately, very few people are taking it now. Mm-hmm. But I'd say a minimum of 6 months of abstinence to be very careful using protection, which is probably prudent anyway.
You know, it's amazing. You just talked about not a lot of people taking the vaccine. This is a little bit different, but it is another anecdotal story. I go up and I play gin rummy at my golf club. Guys I used to play golf with a lot. They're older now. We play cards in the morning. I told these guys, don't get the vaccine. But early on, they thought I was nuts. You're a conspiracy theory, this, that. We're all up there playing. Every single one of them says, I'm not getting boosters. I'm not getting the vaccine. One of them told me their son, who is 45, had, afibrillation. Is that how you say it, doc? Mm-hmm. You're the cardiologist, but had it with totally healthy guy. And he was vaxxed. And now all of these guys, very skeptical of the vaccine and not taking the boosters.
You wonder how many doctors now have not taken the full schedule. If someone is following the current guidelines by the CDC and FDA, they're on their 9th shot. Immunocompromised is on their 12th shot. Who's actually following the schedule? I mean, have people in the White House and the Senate and House of Representatives, have they done it? You know, everyone's very secretive about how much they subscribe to the vaccines. I think you're right. I think the majority of people know they're dangerous and they're not taking it.
All right, I want to get back to the idea of shedding, because this is the other problem with trying to, remember they said, do your own research. We were made out to be criminals doing our own research. But even today, when I try to do research, if I go to Google or I go to, you know, the major search engines, everything I find says it's no such thing. Health.com, Mayo Clinic, this, that, only live virus vaccines. And I'm like, are they going down the same road now, just covering up, cover up, cover up? Or are they getting this information from the CDC? Why does none of this come into the ability for us to find it on a mainstream level?
I think big tech is running algorithms that, in a sense, screen out any negative information on the messenger RNA vaccines grant. And it's only giving people a filter showing positive information, safe and effective, and discarding any concerns. Do you know, in France now, they've just passed a law. Anybody like this speaks out against messenger RNA, it's potentially a criminal activity. So something's going on big that's trying to push everybody into messenger RNA.
Yeah, very, very scary. All right, I've got a couple other doctors I want you to hear from. But before I do that, I want to tell everybody about the company you're associated with, Doc, and I'm so proud to be associated with, is the wellness company, twc.health/grant. Folks, that's where I want you to go to. These prescription medication kits, they are going to be lifesavers. I'm telling you. You may never need it, and God bless you. That's a great thing if you never need it. But the moment you need it and you have these prescription medications in your medicine cabinet, in wherever you keep your emergency medical supplies, you are going to be so thankful. I'm convinced this is a life-saving deal here, these medical kits. Not to mention all of the other supplement products that go along with the wellness company. They're so great to help reduce the effects of the vaccine and the spike protein that comes along with the virus as well. So here's what I want you to do. Go to the website, twc.health/grant. Use promo code GRANT for 10% off. Get the things you need to protect yourself and then just peruse this website. Go through it. Look at the other products. Look at the supplements and know that I wouldn't be associated with a company that I didn't trust all of the doctors that are involved here. And that's really the big thing. I trust these guys, like Dr. McCullough, who I have on the program, like Dr. Corey, who you just heard from. And that's, you can't say that everywhere today. So again, the wellness company, twc.health/grant. Use the promo code GRANT. Doc, I take it it's going fabulous.
It is. And you know what? Today's a big day. Wellness company just announced they've expanded the coverage in the black contagion kit to cover bird flu. So just in case this jumps in demand, you know, there's gain of function research done at the University of Wisconsin trying to make bird flu spread from human to human. I mean, it's going on right in front of us. If this happens, wellness company is ready with the black contagion kit. People probably ought to get that now, because if this takes off potentially in the next month or so, we need to be prepared.
Okay, so that's good. And I want to talk about the bird flu today as well. Yeah. I'm ready for the here we go again. We could throw the measles right in on that as well. But before I do that, I want to finish up on this idea of shedding, because I do think it's important to break down. The idea that someone gets vaccinated can shed the virus, the spike protein, the things that are doing the damage to people from the vaccine to an unvaccinated person. Besides the menstrual cycle, do men have to worry about this as well? Do I need to worry about this? I'll tell you, my girlfriend, who I love, I'm not breaking up with her, but she was vaccinated once, never got it again. So I'll take my risks with her. I'm not dumping her over the shedding. But is it something I need to worry about?
I don't think so, Grant. Honestly, if it was really a problem, people were getting seriously ill from close contact, it would become apparent in the literature. I think breastfeeding and then pregnancy through the placenta, that's real. This affecting menstrual cycles, that's real. But we haven't seen more than that. So I don't think we should scare the population here. The main point is the vaccine should be long in the rear view mirror here. Hopefully everybody's undergone a good detoxification program. Remember McCullough Protocol, a base spike detoxification, natokinase, bromelain, and curcumin, wellness company spike support. That's a great product to be on to just kind of eliminate any worry.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a fabulous product. I've heard so many good things from so many people who have taken it. So to me, that is very good news because, you know, you hear a lot of people talking about it and you just worry, which is why I have you on for this. Now, let's turn to the bird flu. From everything I've heard, it's not really typical of jumping to man, but as you mentioned, this gain of function research, I can't believe this is still going on. Gain of function meaning animal to human. Is that the most simplest definition of gain of function research?
Well, remember, bird flu is called highly pathogenic avian influenza H5N1. It spreads from animal to animal, largely chicken to chicken, turkey to turkey. Occasionally with a lot, it can spread into a cow. Rarely somebody who handles it a lot, it can spread to a human. This recent case in Texas, the guy must have touched his eye and he got conjunctivitis, but it doesn't readily spread to humans. But if it does, it's typically animal to human. The concern is gain of function could make it go from human to human, just like COVID, and have it spread.
Okay, so if that happens, how dangerous is this bird flu?
Over the decades, there have been roughly 800 cases chronicled of animal to human. But in those cases, there have been several hundred deaths. So we have to take this seriously. Most of the deaths occurred in third world countries. About 23 countries total have recorded a death. People treated very late, probably died of secondary bacterial infections. Now, at the wellness company Contagion Kit, we have it covered. No one, you know, we'll start the antivirals quickly. The doctors will get antibiotics if needed. So we have it covered. I don't think anybody should be worried. You can't get it from eating eggs or eating the meat. But I have to tell you, the vaccines have been used in poultry. The Chinese started this in 1994. They've been vaccinating the bejabbers out of the chickens and turkeys and ducks, and it doesn't work. The vaccine doesn't work. The animals actually just get lighter cases, and they spread it around even more. Mm. They've tried destroying flocks. Now, Sid Miller, the ag director in Texas, just told Calgain out in Amarillo to destroy, you know, a couple million egg hens. That doesn't work. The agriculture community has got to figure this out, but this mass vaccinating isn't working. The gain of function has to stop. And then we just have to be, vigilant. Now, fortunately, United States and Canada right now, they're not vaccinating any of the animals, and I don't think they should start.
So, but my, as a business owner, before I was ever even a TV host, I think about, boy, you're telling a farmer to kill 2 million hens. What a blow to that. I don't know if you have insurance for that. Is that the right move here, do you think?
It's been going on for decades. And you know what, Grant? They get government subsidies if they do it.
So the government pays it. Of course. Of course they do. I'm surprised that they're not coming up with this stuff just so they can get the government subsidy.
Well, they are testing like crazy. And remember, you know, they're using PCR tests. So Thermo Fisher is distributing these what called gold tests. It's controlled by government labs. But the bottom line is this whole thing is a lot. It has a lot of the features of the COVID pandemic.
And so that worries me. We're coming up on November. We know they weaponized the COVID pandemic to keep the vote at home so they could institute this mail-in ballot scheme that totally worked. Many states still have the mail-in ballot scheme in place. I'm worried, you know, if it's not the bird flu come November, now we have the rise of measles as well. What's going on with that?
Remember, measles is a very benign illness. 98% of people take the measles vaccine. And it's not a terribly effective vaccine. When you check your titers, like I took it as a kid. When I went to medical school, they checked it again. I didn't have any immunity. I took more measles shots. So it don't work too well. There are outbreaks of measles. When in the vaccinated, it's called atypical measles, and it's relatively benign. We have not had a measles death in the United States in decades. The measles deaths that occurred a long time ago were actually in malnourished people in third world countries, actually due to vitamin A deficiency. So I think a healthy person today really shouldn't worry about measles. It'll be like it was on the Brady Bunch. I don't know if you saw that clip when Peter gets the measles, and it's just a couple of days off. It's a mild infection. If you actually get the real infection, then you get permanent immunity.
All right. So I know, I have a lot of friends. They might claim they're not anti-vaxxers, but I actually think they are anti-vaxxers. I'm anti-COVID vax, and I'm anti any other vax that I find out to be dangerous. I'm going to be anti that vax. So my my eyes and ears are open to anything. Measles was basically eradicated. Mumps, rubella. I haven't heard of anybody getting those things. I got the MMR shots.
Yeah.
Should you still, now you and I have talked about this. I think I got, I don't know what, 12, 15 shots as a child. Now they're up over, what, dozens and dozens and dozens of shots. Mm-hmm. That may be more of the problem than the actual shot themselves.
That's right. It may be over vaccination. We've gotten to a point, I think it's 108 shots now for kids. And when I was a kid, I think it was three to five. So the over vaccination has been linked to problems, more and more allergies, asthma, seizures, neuropsychiatric disorders like Asperger's, autism, ADD. It's not looking good at this point in time. World Council for Health is actually calling for a complete pause, that a healthy child ought to go natural. There's five studies now showing children who get absolutely no vaccines have better outcomes than the fully vaccinated. Where I am at this, I'm like you. I took all these vaccines. I think I took 69 total. But I think going forward, clinically, I think it's going to be on an as-needed basis. So yeah. A child with cystic fibrosis probably would need the respiratory infection vaccines. Someone whose spleen's been taken out, they would need the pneumococcal and Haemophilus vaccines. I think vaccines can be more selective since none of them stop transmission, none of them protect the population. It's really about personal protection.
You know, I went on it wasn't really a mission trip, but it was like a mission trip to build houses for poor people in Nicaragua, get them up off the ground. The water is basically running through their houses. And this is maybe 5-6 years ago. I took a whole slew of vaccines to go to Nicaragua because all the things they have there. I'm actually glad I took them. I don't think I have any side effects from those, but I don't want to get malaria going to Nicaragua.
It's true. You know, I went to India, I went to the rainforest, and I went to the Dallas County Community Health a few years ago, and I got typhoid and yellow fever and what have you. So, you know, if the vaccines have an acceptable safety profile and they can provide some protection, they ought to be considered depending on your exposure. But no vaccine is perfectly safe and no vaccine is perfectly effective.
You know, Doc, the reason why I think it's important you and I discuss this, especially really you, who's become such an expert on this. You get nailed from people who don't know you as being a quote anti-vaxxer. They don't understand what a reasonable guy you are. I mean, every time I've talked to you, you know, that you talk about, all right, I don't want to get typhoid fever. So you take a vaccine that's been proven. It's been around for decades, probably. I think it's important that people see that side of those who talk about the COVID vaccine with such disdain as you and I do.
Well, it's true. The COVID vaccine grant, you know, our CDC is at 18,655 American deaths with the vaccine. 1,150 die in the vaccine center in the next few hours. 1,200 die the next day. That's underreported 30-fold. We're at over 550,000 vaccine deaths. I mean, the entire vaccine world in the United States records no more than 150 per year up until the COVID shots. They're in a league unto themselves in terms of risk of death and serious damage.
And I guess the sad part is we come to the end here, but the sad part is it used to be academia would flush this stuff out. You could trust the medical journals. Mm-hmm. You were telling me today there's a hearing, and maybe I'll cover it on the Real America's Voice show tonight. Yeah. There was a hearing in the United States Senate today, and you had two of the main journals, Lancet and Nature, didn't show up to the hearing. They're invited, and they don't show up to a congressional hearing.
Nick, can you imagine? You know, I've been called to the U.S. Senate three times. I show up and you know, raise my hand and do the best to my ability to help America. We have the journal editors not showing up. This is about fraud in academic medicine. Remember that paper in Lancet was completely fraudulent paper on hydroxychloroquine that right after Trump had announced hydroxychloroquine could be a game changer. That was fraud. We've seen now fraudulent papers on the vaccines claiming they're safe and effective when they're not. They're almost always written by vaccinated doctors at institutions that mandated the vaccines. You know, those are not trustable papers.
Mm-hmm. We know that Dr. Fauci was talking to some of the writers of some of the journals during the midst of all this, emails going back, change your article, all these things.
Right.
This is not where our government is supposed to be. I guess my last question for you, do you see any signs of a change? Clearly with the public, there's been an awakening. But with the regulators, the leaders, do you see any sign that they're relenting?
Robert Califf, FDA commissioner, was just on Capitol Hill last week. He showed no signs at all. Despite the FDA taking down all their false claims on ivermectin, he went out there and said ivermectin is ineffective against COVID and has toxicity concerns. So he's still deep in this government false narrative, despite the FDA capitulating in court.
Yeah. All of this comes from the top, of course, and I still believe Barack Obama, Bill Clinton and Hillary, and then you've got Joe Biden and Kamala. I guess the good thing with measles is it spreads from bird to bird, turkey to turkey. These guys ought to watch out, all the turkeys up there in Washington. They better look out for the bird flu and measles. Hey, Dr. McCullough, it's great having you on the program. I so appreciate it, as always.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Absolutely. And folks, let me remind all of you, it's really, really important that you take the precautions to protect yourself with these prescription medications. You heard the newest kit that they've got out that will prepare you if, God forbid, the bird flu comes, something we really do have to worry about. Get that kit, twc.health/grant. I've got the other kits as well. Travel kit with prescription medications specifically designed when you're traveling. My home kit. God forbid I need something here. Drugstores closed down. We see the cyber attack. We saw drugstores closed down just a few weeks ago. Have the medications on hand, plus all the supplements. Go to the website, twc.health/grant. Use that promo code GRANT for 10% off, and I promise you will not regret it. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thank you so much for watching. Stinchfield tonight on Real America's Voice at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I expect to see you there. Stinchfield's Army Rolls. We'll see you then, folks.